You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at King's Coast Coffee.
Welcome to episode 98 of Star Wars in Scotch. I'm your host, Tim, also known as Darkness429, all over the interwebs. Also joining me today, as always, my co-host, Kevin, a.k.a. Kevin X Vision, a.k.a. K Magic 101, etc., etc. Good morning, Kevin.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm just sipping on this King's Coast coffee and trying to wake up.
What are you sipping on?
I have no idea because my wife made my coffee this morning.
Oh, all right. Well, I was, some of our summer swells, and I was actually talking to Chad about this yesterday. Coming up soon is our fall roast, which is going to be, it's a fall tides, right?
It's, No, it's not fall tides.
Darn. We have so many seasonal things, but our fall roast is one of my favorite roasts because it's like, it's one of the, like one of my favorite ones, but it's only around for a few weeks.
Is it autumn waves?
Autumn tides?
Autumn something. I'm going to Shopify now. Look.
Whatever it's called, it's my favorite. It's crazy. That and our Christmas blend are like my two favorite roasts we put out every year. And we only get them for a short amount of time. I think that's why it's my favorite, because we only get them
autumn
for a few
tide.
Weeks. See, I knew it was tides. I just couldn't remember if it was fall or autumn. It's autumn tides. We like to go with the seasons here at King's Coast Coffee. So make sure to head on over to kingscoastcoffee.com. Make sure you bookmark it because we're switching over to our fall tide roast soon. Christmas is right around the corner. It's crazy, dude. It's crazy to think that we like the holidays are coming up, dude. The holidays are right around the corner.
You want to know how many days it is till Christmas?
Yeah, go for it.
109. Ugh. 47 days to Diwali, 54 days to Halloween.
13 days from Andor.
That's the most important one. 78 days from Thanksgiving, which is food Christmas for me. But yes. 13 days from Andor. In the midst of nerd Christmas right now, oh my God, it's a lot to like keep up.
It's a lot. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, so I'll probably derail the conversation numerous times today to talk about Rings of Power and House of the Dragon. But in the world of Star Wars, the Acolyte got its first casting this week.
Oh, okay.
Jodie Turner-Smith. I was not familiar with her. Actress from England. I'm going through her IMDb right now. She was in Anne Boleyn miniseries last year.
Okay.
And that is really the only thing I know her from. She seems relatively new. She was in True Blood in a few episodes back in the day.
I haven't seen True Blood, so I wouldn't recognize.
Yeah.
Am I missing out on anything with True Blood?
Night Flyer. It's not my cup of tea, but okay. I know people do like it. Jet. And then now she's listed as pre-production for The Acolyte. I don't know if she is The Acolyte or if she's just part of the show, but Jodie Turner-Smith is the first person to be revealed to be part of the cast.
Speaking of Acolyte, just to completely derail the conversation, because I was listening to it this morning, Shadows of the Sith?
Yes.
Wait, yes. I was like, yep. Shadows of the Empire? I was like, no,
that's a game.
Yeah, it's a game. Really good.
Yeah,
I got to the part where Luke and Anakin were actually like having like dialogue with each other. It was just so wholesome.
Ah, okay, you finally got there. I was waiting for you to get there.
I love that part. That was really fun. And like we already knew like that had happened, so like this isn't like a big spoiler. I already read like this excerpt on stream. So like, we knew that like Luke talks to his dad, which is like I think it was like really neat. For me, like that gave me goosebumps. Cause like my dad's not around. I'm like, man, like I would kill for that. Like that'd be so cool. And like for like the last time that like Luke like got to see his dad was like not in like the best way.
Of course.
So like getting to see that, but then like knowing that he has like this huge like job, you know, ahead of him, knowing like the Force is getting all messed up, you know, it's like, it's really neat. So like, I'm loving Lando in this more and more. Like he's just still like one of my favorite Star Wars characters.
He's
and
just
like,
Lando, then, dude.
Yeah, he's just Lando. He's just like, hey, Luke. And he's just like, he was like, what are you doing here? He's like, hey, I'm here to help save the day. It's like a typical Lando.
Are they like, still insinuating that the woman at the end of episode 9 is his daughter? Is that like
Jaina?
The one who lived on the planet where the Death Star fell.
Yeah, her name's, yeah, isn't it Jaina? Jaina? Yeah, Jaina.
Are they insinuating that that's
no? She's not.
Okay, thank you. Because
yeah, she's not. So the only reason why I know that is because okay, this is how nerdy my family has gotten with my son. Everybody knows that he likes to now look at the biographs for characters. Like he's like, look, yes. he wants you to look it up on Wikipedia and read you the entry. Well, my mom got him literally the encyclopedia for Star Wars characters. It has every single Star Wars character in every movie, in every show. It is the coolest book. And Kyler will just go to different characters. He's like, Dad, look, Finn. Read Finn. You know, and so he wants me to go through these pages. And he found Jaina and he says her name over and over and over again. Because she's in one of his books. And so I was like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder if she is Lando's daughter. Because everyone was hinting at that. I went through and I read her and it's not.
Good. Yeah, that makes me happy.
I believe, yeah. So the canon, I could go get it, but like the canon is she's just from that planet.
Like so he was trying to lay pipe at the end of the movie.
Probably. Yeah. I honestly don't remember a lot when it comes to episode 9. I need to go back and watch it.
Good for him, Lando. I know the big controversy right now with episode 9 is because John Boyega is rumored to be joining MCU and whatnot. But the big controversy is John Boyega won't read Colin Trevorrow's script.
Yeah, I saw that. Because
that's the
that
ending
article.
He wanted.
Oh, no. It's such a good ending, too.
Yeah, he wanted the Stormtrooper Rebellion to be the end.
Yeah, it would have been sick.
He won't read it. Because he's too upset about the fact that like that's how he wanted the saga to end. So
what do you think of Henry Cavill also going to MCU?
Henry Cavill's doing everything. So here's my theory.
MCU took Superman. Like what the fuck?
Here's my theory: is Henry Cavill is mad at DC?
Of course he is.
For toying with him. So now he's joined. He's did The Witcher. He's joining MCU most likely Doctor Doom. And he's probably, like, apparently being eyed for season 2 for House of the Dragon.
No way. Oh, my God. He would make an amazing Targaryen.
Supposedly he might be a Lannister. That's the rumor.
Oh, he'd also be a great Lannister as well.
I welcome this. We'll see. The Targaryen would be Caitlin Olsen, Scarlet Witch. She's being
I thought that was Elizabeth Olsen.
Elizabeth, sorry, I get the three sisters mixed up. Elizabeth would be she apparently has already signed for season 2 of House of the Dragon. Dude, so with Henry,
fantastic.
All he would need to do is do 2 more things to complete the trifecta. The first one would be joining Rings of Power season 2 to play somebody in that. And the second one would be finally bringing Arthas from World of Warcraft to life. And becoming the Lich King himself. And then, like, he's done it. Like, what other nerd thing? He's already the king of the nerds. This would make him, like, Lord High Emperor.
The eternal emperor of the nerds.
Yeah, so I think he's making DC squirm. With, like, well, sorry, my schedule's going to be too busy to be Superman at some point, even though you wanted me to come back.
I mean, they fucked him over a lot. So they made the huge deal about his freaking mustache.
They fucked us over too,
mm-hmm.
with all the shitty DC. Speaking of DC, you said your son. So I got when Kyler was in my office like a month and a half ago, we were looking at action figures on Amazon, and he was telling me that his dad doesn't get him action figures, which I know is a lot.
Shut up.
Which I know is a lie, but I played ball. So then for his birthday, I got him a whole set of like the Marvel Kids Spider-Man action figures with Black Panther, Gwen, and all of them are in it.
Yeah,
and then
sick.
I also got him like the DC version with all the Gotham version, not DC, because it was like Joker, Penguin, Batman, Robin. all them. And you were telling me yesterday Batman's his favorite.
So he just like he takes the Robin glider and he just goes around and goes blast 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 blast.
I mean, it's fun.
Blast blast blast.
Really cute.
So yeah, he really likes it. He's in this big action figure phase. My mom got him for his birthday. He's got Kylo, Rey, Finn, and who's the fourth one? Oh, just a stormtrooper. It's just like just a basic ass stormtrooper. And he'll sit there and he'll want to have like lightsaber fights and stuff. So like, yeah, he's in a cool phase right now where he just like wants to play with toys and he's got like this developing imagination. So he's like coming up with scenarios and whatnot. It's really cool. Three is fun. This is like my favorite age so far.
I like it. I like it. Much. Well, three is fun in our house, but for much different reasons. And three is more the camp. But my mom apparently said that I was this way at three and that it doesn't last long at all. And that three was far worse than two. So everyone says terrible twos is bullshitting you. It's the.
Oh, yeah, no, twos was so easy.
Yeah, everyone that I'm talking to is saying three is worse. I don't remember because Hunter, when he was younger, he straight up didn't like me until he was five. I know that sounds hysterical, but he was like, no, I want my mom. Dude. And then Audrey. According to Audrey's mom, I have selective memory with Audrey because I'm like, she was a great kid. She's like, no, she wasn't. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She was an angel. So my memory is not to be relied upon here. So maybe I'm doing this for the first time, technically. Back to our stuff. So Acolyte casting and then the stuff with Finn. And that's all we got for Star Wars for this week.
Oh, okay. That was quick. No, what else was? Who else got casted? Was that the only like?
That's the only
news.
Yeah, it's the only casting announcement. I mean, there was the interview with Rian Johnson where he went back and looked at Last Jedi, and there were some interesting thoughts. Highly recommend reading that interview. I got to do it over the weekend, and he stands by what he made with The Last Jedi, and I can appreciate that. You know, I don't think The Last Jedi is as bad as people make it out to be. I think the worst part of it is Rose and Finn just feels completely out of place, completely forced, and completely dumb. But I think the other side of the story with Luke and everything is not a bad story at all.
I really enjoy it. Like I love that whole, like he becomes the person he was meant to be instead of the person he was so afraid of becoming.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. I enjoyed Luke's ending and whatnot, but Phasma was also just a waste of a potentially great character.
Yeah. It was such a cool character that they could have done so much with and decided to just like shit all over it, which made me sad.
Especially because it was played by the actress who played Brienne of Tarth from Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. And she's great.
But yes, she's fantastic. She's in something new coming up, which I thought was like, oh, she's in Sandman.
Oh, okay.
I haven't finished Sandman yet, but she's in Sandman.
I forget his name. The guy who plays the lead Harfoot in Rings of Power is also in Sandman.
Oh, is he? Oh, I need to
go.
He's
one of the animals or something.
There's so many things that are out right now. It's so hard to like keep focus on like what we need to watch.
Nerd Christmas, dude.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I got to finish Sandman. I'm like three episodes deep into Sandman. We need to get caught up on Game of Thrones because that came out on Sunday. Rings of Power is tonight. And then we got caught up on She-Hulk. And we are going to start watching Ms. Marvel. And apparently I need to watch Ted Lasso at some point. Apparently Ted Lasso is amazing, so I need to watch Ted Lasso.
I watched two episodes of Ted Lasso. It's one of the best shows I've ever seen, but then my Apple Plus expired, so I got to go back and get it because I want to finish C as well.
Uh-huh. Oh, apparently C. Yeah, I keep on getting trailers for the last season of C.
I watched the first season.
It's nothing but amazing.
Yeah, I was like, how are you going to have blind people like get visually engaging combat? No, of course, Jason Momoa of all people is going to be like challenge accepted. And
yeah, of course,
boom, the combat's actually like it's so different from what you're used to that the tactics that they use, basically, obviously based on hearing and other senses being heightened changes the way the combat looks. And it does not look stupid at all. It's actually really well thought out and really, really well done. So C to me is a must watch, especially because it has an end. Season three is the end of the show. So you got three solid seasons. Have a nice day. And nice. Dave Bautista's in it.
Oh, really? That's cool.
He's in season two. Yeah. I just started Speaking of space magic, I just started Guardians of the Galaxy, the game.
Oh, dude, it's such a great game.
It's
what a
so
phenomenal
much...
playthrough. It was so much fun. It was that perfect pacing, and the combat was really fun, where it was just like you can just do the blasters, or you can do like the special abilities. You can call people in. Like it was really, really fun.
The banter is the best.
Like, that's how I imagine Knights of the Republic to play. Like,
I
that's
hope so.
Like that right there, like that squad-based combat where you have like all of the other Guardians with you. Like, you can pick who you want to bring, and then you can have, you know, like you in KOTAR, you'd pick your three other people you'd bring with you, and like that would be it. Like, everybody would fight. You could switch back and forth. Like, it was fun. I liked it.
Just the conversations they have. The conversations they have.
All of the banter is so good.
During the fights, though, when they're just like just shitting on each other, is the best. And then you can choose whose side you're going to take in that fight. It's so funny.
It's really fun because it felt like a movie. And that's what a lot of the Marvel games have done really, really well lately, is they've delivered a very good story alongside a fun game.
It feels like a Telltale game, but with an entirely different action component inserted into it, like a combat system.
Games.
If you like, so Telltale games are this, and if you ever want to do like a night stream and drink, I can give you suggestions on which ones to play. Like, some of them are my favorites, some of them suck, some of them are just worth it. It's basically the idea that you're playing a choose your own adventure book. And there are action sequences, and I'm putting up air quotes on purpose because, you know, it'll be like Batman jumps through the air and you have to shoot your batarang off, and it will affect the story, but you have to like tap A really fast to like get your batarang out and shoot it across the room. So stuff like that. It's not skill based or anything like that. It's just how quick can you press button X or this combo of buttons and things like that. So they're very story based. Which is why I say, because in that game, there's like 10-minute cutscenes. There's when you're Peter as a kid. I think I got to the second flashback. Oh, he's about to open the present. That's the one that I ended with.
Okay.
On his mom's bed.
Yeah.
It's like that. So if you ever want to play a Telltale game, the Guardians of the Galaxy one was fun. The Batman ones are great. My favorite was Wolves Among Us. Wolf Among Us?
Wolves Among Us?
Wolf, is it, what is it
Among
called?
Us? You're sounding pretty sus right now. Kevin did it. Kevin's the imposter.
The Wolf Among Us. The Wolf Among Us. That was my favorite Telltale game. It took all the old nursery rhyme characters from when we were kids and put them into like this R-rated, borderline X-rated story.
What?
Yeah, like I forget who. Was it Pinocchio? Somebody was a pimp. You know.
Holy shit, that's in that game?
Yeah, you play the big bad wolf.
What?
Yeah, it was really, really well done. It's based on a DC comic, actually. So that one was good. The Game of Thrones one was fun from a world building perspective, but it wasn't exactly a good game per se. Huh. So it's great for like an evening where you're just like, I'm gonna have a drink and just want to take it easy tonight and just connect with folks. If you're doing it during the day, I don't recommend it based on, you know, what your audience likes to see.
So they're doing the Expanse for the Tall Tales doing an Expanse game.
Yes.
Why haven't we seen a Star Wars game?
Well, that's essentially what Eclipse is, because it's the same. It's very similar to Detroit Become Human in those
types
of games.
I get that. But I mean, like, again, like, why hasn't this company, this dev team, taken on the Star Wars franchise and
made they went out of business and then they were brought back. Somebody bought Telltale and brought them back.
Yeah, I thought they just released a game not too. Like, I mean, they've got the freaking Expanse one coming out.
Yeah, the Expanse one's coming out. The only
that's a huge title.
Yeah, I mean, the only Disney IP they've worked with is Marvel for Guardians of the Galaxy, because they did. They've done a Borderlands, Tales from the Borderlands. I didn't play that one though. I'm not a huge Borderlands person.
Yeah.
But they did do Tales from the Borderlands, and supposedly Tales from the Borderlands 2 is on the slate for them as well.
I would love to see that, like, because I like their art style. I think that's why I would love to see a Star Wars game, because it has a very unique art style with that like cel shading.
Yeah, the comic book cel shading art style, and it works well with games like Guardians and Batman, because
sure,
because
like the cows and stuff.
You feel like you're playing out a comic. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it would be interesting to see them do a Star Wars one. Obviously, they could spin it up a lot quicker than what they're doing with Eclipse, because it's a different art style that shouldn't take as much rendering time and all of that stuff when it comes to an art perspective. It's just mapping out the path. I can't imagine how many different dialogue options and things they would have to record to make a game like that.
Yeah.
Because
it would have to be its own story. It would have to be a unique story that you'd never, because it couldn't be like from a movie, you know, because yes. because that's a linear plot. Like there's no variations. You can't be like, oh, I saved the Death Star instead of blowing it up. Let's see what happens. Like that would be cool, but it'd essentially be visions at that point.
Which is why they do, well, no, that's why they do Old Republic. Like we said, it's legends, it's hearsay,
right, exactly.
It's
yeah.
whispers.
It would all be like just like a fun made up story, or like, you know, take like a character that you know, but then like give them like this unique story that you'd never thought of.
Yeah. So, I mean, they could do it. It's probably, but now with Eclipse on the slate, I doubt they would let Telltale touch it.
I feel like that game just isn't going to come out.
I also feel like that game's not going to come out.
I feel like that's just vaporware at this point.
Yeah. I'm of the mind that game will never make it.
Anything that has a release date 6 years out is not real. I will not believe it.
Except Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, but
they're the only ones.
Elder Scrolls and Starfield, but I just like, I mean, like, Starfield isn't what we thought it was going to be. So, I mean,
it's exactly what I thought it was going to be. It's Fallout, Skyrim, and space.
Yeah, but everyone was hoping for that, like that true, like big open world, like No Man's Sky or like Star Citizen experience. And like,
have you met Bethesda? Like, come on, people.
I understand that, but I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, you're gonna stop playing all these games and play this game. Like, I don't know. I'm gonna try it. I'll give it a shot. I don't know.
I guarantee you, it's 150 hours of pure enjoyment. But you're not like, that's it. Like, it's over after that. You're done. Your adventure has ended. It's like Skyrim. You can only do so much before. But modding will bring that game back to life.
For sure. But like for me, the one thing that I'm terrified of and like why I lose interest, it's always the dialogue in Bethesda games that always just bore me. Because I have to come up with the acting in my head, or if I'm doing it on stream, I have to act it out for viewers, and I hate it.
So you like games like Detroit, where
I love
your character is fully voice acted.
I get to be the viewer. I get to join my viewers in this visual experience. I don't like having to be the dancing monkey and be like, oh, hey there, guy. And like, oh, do you remember that voice you did for that guy? And then you forgot to do it. And then like chat's like, do the voice. And it's like, oh, I don't. Ah, oh, shit. We did this like for 5 days straight. You know, and just like you feel like you have to bring something else to the screen because it just like it's so boring.
So that's why. That's why you like BioWare games too.
That's why I love. There's a lot of different games. Like I love the Dark Picture Anthology game series, from
Oh Man of Madonna and Until Dark and all them.
Who's the dev team's escaping me, but Supermassive games. Like yes. I love those games that are acted out. You know, like Last of Us. You know, like all of these games that have like very like cinematic cutscenes are enjoyable for me because I just get to experience the story the way that it was meant to be played out.
Then I highly suggest BioWare.
Yeah, BioWare games are like for me, I really enjoy.
I highly suggest you play some Telltale games then because you will get that experience. There's just not the action is not like you're not doing like button combinations. There's no skill. It's just press button thing happens.
Yeah.
So I'll even sit with you if you want to do some nights over the next few months and like because I love those games. Those were my favorite games to stream because of what you said. I was in the audience with chat. Like I was there just commentating on what was happening.
I probably should. I mean, like a lot of those games, like especially right now, because there's a game drought, like it's like rough. So like those are probably like a good game to play right now.
Yeah, I go straight. If you want like the, I know, because I know you like that like darker side, The Wolf Among Us will hit that for you hard.
Okay.
If you're okay with like fairy tale pimps and hookers and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean like again like that shit was in like Dark Picture like in all the like Supermassive games like I mean like shit gets kind of dark in that game like what was the one game where you play as the guy from what's his name and he ends up getting cut in half with the big buzzsaw.
The only one I've played is Until Dawn. That's it.
It's Until Dawn. Right? It's the one
I might not have gotten that part though cuz remember everyone's journey is different.
Oh well, the one guy, what's his name? The Egyptian actor, whatever he's from. I can't think of his name.
Rami Malek, that one.
Yeah, Rami Malek. I'm not sure his nationality is. He's awesome in that. Like he did such a great job. Loved it. Yeah, in mine he gets like he pretends to cut himself in half. fantastic. It was such a good game.
He's American, Tim. Sorry.
Is he American? No, but he's got to be something else.
His parents were born.
What's his nationality?
Man, why isn't he in Star Wars?
He would be interesting to see in Star Wars. He has very interesting mannerisms, or like the way that he
to an Egyptian Coptic Orthodox family.
I knew it. Yeah.
His father was a tour guide in Cairo.
Look at me, dude.
Look at you.
Look at me. boop, pin that one. He talks real slow. I got the one where he talks about like he when he was what was the Mr. Robot. When he was the hacker and he was sitting in the coffee shop and he's talking about like Tor nets and onion router protocols and stuff. And it's just like, man, he's got like this eerie, like kind of creepy vibe when he talks to people. It's his eye. I think it's the way he does his eyes. The way he just like kind of just looks at you.
He was phenomenal as Freddie Mercury.
Yes. Oh my gosh. What an amazing performance.
Yeah. He nailed Freddie Mercury.
Dude, it was so good. It was just, that's one of my favorite movies to watch. I could watch that movie over and over and over again. It's so good. Anyway.
There's been no update on Bad Batch, by the way, so I'm assuming.
September 28th is when we get it.
I'm assuming.
We're going to be so busy. Oh, man.
I got to go to Orlando on Friday. I can't even watch Rings of Power on Friday night. You know how mad I am?
We're going on that Disney cruise in a couple days.
They have a TV in the room, Tim.
Do you think so? Do you think they have Disney Plus? That would be so sick.
You could probably Chromecast it.
They've got that Star Wars bar, and I'm kind of excited to go in there. We'll see.
You can watch Disney Plus at your Disney hotel room, so I would assume you could do the same on the boat.
Perfect.
So you can keep up with or you won't even have to. Well, you might have to watch Bad Batch.
Wednesdays.
Because
Andor would have come out. Andor comes out on the 14th. No, comes out on the 21st. 21st? No, I'll already be back.
13 days, 21st.
Yeah, 21st.
Yes, 21st.
Yeah, I'll already be back.
When is it? Next weekend?
Yeah, next weekend.
Oh, wow. That's coming up quick.
I've been fast. Well, I mean, like, they got this for me, like, 2 years ago. This was a community birthday present. They all, like, pulled together and was like a... And then the pandemic happened. And we're like, oh, cool. Like, and originally it was going to be just for Amy and I. And then we're like, we should bring the baby. So then we like upgraded so that we could bring the baby. Because it's going to be Mickey's Halloween party at sea or something like that. So I was like,
oh, the not so scary Halloween situation.
Yeah. But it's like on the seven seas or whatever it's called. And I'm like, yeah, of course. And like the kiddo gets to dress up as Buzz Lightyear. Like he's super excited.
Don't you love the differential there? It's like Disney's like, oh, here's our not so scary Halloween party. And, Universal's like, we hope you get traumatized and have
we're gonna dismember people.
Have to see a therapist. Their Halloween, okay, some of their houses this year are like,
I don't know. You and I went through the list a couple days ago and we're just like, there's a couple that I want to go see. Like the classic one sounds neat.
The weekend one sounds hilarious.
The Exorcist sounds fantastic.
Yes.
But yeah, the weekend one sounds kind of interesting. Like, I don't know how scary the weekend can be. That's what I would be doing the entire time through the haunted house. I'd just be singing the weekend.
His haunted Super Bowl performance.
I bet you, like, at one part, it's the scene where he's running through that room with all the lights and mirrors and he doesn't know how to get out. I bet you
Literally, it's in the trailer. Yes.
Oh, no shit. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
so they're just taking his Super Bowl thing that he did here in Tampa, and they just converted it.
I think he designed the haunted house, so I'm not really 100% sure, but
interesting.
I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, and then the Fisherman Village one is the other one I'd be interested in.
I want that to be scary, like an Amityville or Haunted Jaws.
Probably.
No, well, I mean, like,
it's supposed to be like sailor zombies.
So I don't know how they pulled that one off.
They should just upgrade Jaws and bring it back.
I don't know how they would bring it back.
We were talking over the weekend how when they lose, they're going to let Simpsons contract expire. And then there's rumors that Back to the Future will get upgraded to like 8K and be reintroduced to the park.
Well, they need, I'm surprised Men in Black is still a thing.
Yeah, because
they haven't ripped that ride out. It's been there for like 2 decades.
I remember when that was new.
Yeah, I remember when that was being built. I think I was at Universal one time. They were like putting they were taking a crane and lifting that saucer up and putting it on the pole. Like, I remember that.
I don't like that I remember when that was.
Remember when the X Factor experience wasn't the X Factor experience, and it was the Wild Wild West stunt show. It was the coolest stunt show ever.
I remember. I saw on TikTok. I saw a walkthrough of Twister the other day.
Oh man, we did a behind the scenes tour of Twister's one. That was pretty cool.
Did you like Shrek? Because they just got rid of that.
Do you remember what Shrek used to be?
Was that
Alfred
Ghostbusters?
Hitchcock.
I remember that!
That was the Alfred Hitchcock experience.
Where was the Ghostbusters show?
Ghostbusters show?
Oh, that might have been like before your time, too.
Ghostbusters show?
I was a little kid.
No, because like they also still have like Beetlejuice. The music area. Like it's at least the last time I was there, they still had Beetlejuice, which is just like they have like the Need for Speed like show now. Like I really want to go back. It's been a long time since I've been to Universal Studios.
Let's go. I'm gonna try and go for Grinchmas this year, and I want to go for Halloween Horror Nights. They actually decorate for Christmas, unlike Disney. Fuckers.
What do you mean Disney decorates for Christmas?
No, they don't. I went last year. It was a Christmas tree and a few wreaths. I was livid. Livid that I paid all that money to go to Disney and it was just like barely any Christmas stuff. They used to put lights, they had the parade, everything was decorated. Nope.
Evan, we're never going to be able to sit down with anyone from Disney if we keep talking shit about Disney.
You know, I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, well, first of all, we have Scotch in our podcast title, so they're going to dismiss us there. Our best bet is Lucas.
What are you talking about? They love Scotch.
Not front-facing like that. Lucas will probably be the ones that we talk to. The problem is once a Disney executive sniffs it out, they're going to go do, like, research. Especially if, like, we take the stories and stuff that we're working on and be like, hey, Lucas, if you, and then they're going to go back and do research and be like, this guy's been talking shit about Disney for the past 2 years.
Okay. So you're right. So when I did the stuff with EA for Battlefront 2, they had to do an entire like breakdown of who I was, and all this stuff. And they had to give it to Lucas and they also had to give it to Disney for verification and green check marks before I could do any streaming for like activations for that. It was like a 2 week period where I was like, are there anything back yet on this contract? I'm still waiting for Disney approval. So they do like vet you before you do anything. It's wild. It's a lot.
Sorry. I just ruined everything. I like the old CEO. I don't like the new one. The new one sucks.
He sucks.
But man, come on. Every Disney blogger is saying the same thing I am. It's not like I'm alone on this island.
No, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot, especially over in California, they're getting screwed pretty hard.
I think it's funny that before, when it was Bob Iger, all the Star Wars like gatekeeping fans were so mad at Disney. And now we're the ones mad at Disney. They're still mad at Disney. Don't get me wrong.
The turns have tabled.
Yeah. So like it is what it is.
We'll see
the new
happens.
Guy's
maybe,
not going to win
maybe
any.
Maybe Dave Filoni will show up at GCX in one year.
I hope so. I think that's a good place to wrap it and call it a show is the shit talking.
The plea for Dave Filoni to still want to come on to our show.
I don't have issues with Lucas like I do with Disney. I like Lucas. I like all the Star Wars content they bought, and I hope that this podcast is a reflection of that.
Hey,
I have my, my
before we finish real quick, are you still listening to Thrawn real quick?
Yeah, I got like 6 hours left in that book.
Okay. I was just curious.
They're on the droid. They're at the droid factory.
Oh.
Yeah, they're talking to the guy from Dooku's planet.
Yeah.
And Anakin's giving him the business.
Yeah, this is a good part.
Literally, just listen to that as I was pulling
the
party.
Oh, dude, the part. Oh, when Padme shows up in this. Oh.
Mm. I mean, she is. She's. Last I heard from her, she was like with those three guys.
I know. I'm just
and
saying.
Anakin thinks she's dead.
Yeah, and she thinks Anakin's dead.
Oh, okay.
That's really good. Just keep listening to it.
And Thrawn's just hanging out. Mm-hmm, well, listen to that. And then the Cimmerillion, I started again.
Why?
You know me. I'm a glutton
why
for punishment.
Why are you a masochist?
It's actually, there's things... I'm retaining more information than when I read it when I was in my early 20s.
I remember that being so dry.
It is because it's just like, it's more like a historical, it's like a history book of the elves.
Yeah, I tried. I remember reading Fellowship, and then a buddy of mine was like, you should try the Cimmerillion. I was like, all right. And I maybe got 10 pages, and I was
the Cimmerillion is for people that want to be immersed in Middle Earth. That is not a story. I can't emphasize that to you enough. Like, it is not because people that are defending the Cimmerillion, first of all, Rings of Power can't use the Cimmerillion because they only have rights to the movies and the books, which means they only have access to the appendices, which means they can't really do much in the first
stage.
And that's why
they only make nods to things that are mentioned in the Cimmerillion and not.
They can't even call Morgoth by his god name because that's the Cimmerillion.
Oh. And so wait, is that why they're only like talking about Sauron?
Morgoth doesn't play much into the second age, so
okay,
it's Sauron.
This is all new for me, so I don't know.
I know about
Sauron. I know all of that stuff, but I don't know what happens in this time.
Yeah, Morgoth is, he's kind of, at this point, he's been captured twice.
He's sleeping, though, right?
No, he's just chained to the depths of the Middle Earth.
Oh, I thought he was slumbering, and then, like, or is that in the Cimmerillion, he's slumbering, and, like...
No, he's in prison, essentially, at this point.
Okay.
Now, there's theories that he's still directing traffic up top with Sauron, but no one can solidify that information. The man who made it is dead. So, you know, we just have to work off. But they're using things like, so I was really, when I watched it, I was on the fence about Galadriel. I'm like, this is not the woman that I knew. And then I watched a YouTube video and the guy was explaining that their inspiration for Galadriel actually comes from BBC letters written to Tolkien with questions and him answering
them.
Cool. Right. Cause that's fair use.
Yeah.
So they can use that information. So thing, and then the response, he's like, yes, Galadriel at one point was a commander of armies and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, I was like, I thought you were just pulling the shit out of your ass. No, you're not. You're actually, like, you have information to base this on. The other thing I have is, like, when people are like, this is not accurate. And people are like, you know, this is fake, right? This is a fantasy world. This is not actual world history.
I keep on forgetting that there is actual, like, professors of Tolkien history and, like...
who worked on the show.
Yeah, and it's just, like, I forget that there are, like, actual college courses that you can go and take about all this stuff. So like, I wonder if the people who are throwing fits are the ones who actually like put in the time and to do the studies, or they just feel like they know it. Cause like I would love to talk to the professors and stuff. Like that sounds so interesting to me.
They read the Cimmerillion. They don't understand the deal doesn't include the Cimmerillion in the first age. So there's limited in what information they can bring forth, and they're limited to the appendices of the Lord of the Rings books. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of creative licensing happening. There's a lot of filling in the blanks on things that were never fully explained.
To viewers too. Like,
it's okay. And it's also okay as a Tolkien diehard to not like it, but don't shit on people who do. That's the line in the sand. I am not 150% sold on the show yet. Yeah. You got a ways to go for me, but I'm interested in it enough to keep going. You know, I know some of these characters. I want to understand more. We have this mysterious stranger who could be one of like 10 different things. If it is fan service Gandalf, there's lore to support that fan service Gandalf could be there by his old name, Olorin, wandering during the second age, learning about the peoples of Middle Earth before he's called back as an Istari in the third age, you know, to help against Sauron. So,
man, you're such a nerd when it comes to Lord of the Rings. It's hot.
Oh, especially this week, because I've been, I am deep in my YouTube algorithm of smart people. But that's the thing is like, there's information to support some of the decisions they're making. Not all of them, like Elrond and Durin. There's nothing to support that they were friends. There's also nothing to support that they weren't friends.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say about Durin is not supposed to be alive when it's, well, Durin's father is not supposed to be alive when he's alive. That I'll give you.
Interesting.
That I'll give you. But again, creative licensing. They change things in the movies too when we all still like those. So
just roll with it. Imagine being Elrond and just being alive for that long.
Galadriel's longer. She's from Valinor. She is old.
She's one of the original, like actual people.
She's 8,500 years old by the time we get to the War of the Ring.
That's probably why she's so sad. That's probably why, when we see her in Fellowship, why she's just so sad and somber.
Also,
she's gone through so much shit.
She's also been married for like 1,000 years before we meet her in this show, which means she's been married for like 5,000 years. That's a long time.
She's just tired. End it.
She's got to put up.
Give
put
me
up
the
with
ring, Frodo.
Putting up with Celeborn shit. Like, come on.
I just want to kill this guy and get it over with.
He's not exactly the most personable. Tell me, where is Gandalf? But I much desire to speak. Imagine having to talk to someone that talks like that for 5,000 years. Tell me, where really is Gandalf?
She really wanted that ring of power, man.
Yeah, just like, I'm gonna end it. This is it.
Also,
I'm over it.
Holy shit. If you go back to the Fellowship in that scene, she has battle armor on. She has an armor corset on when she reaches for that ring of power. Her entire outfit changes. She has armor on.
There is information that Tolkien put forth to support
so
what
cool.
they're doing. They are taking liberties. Like, there's no mention of her going to Valinor denying the gift. Gil-galad, the king, does not have the authority to tell people to go to Valinor. That's
like
a god
him.
Thing.
Something seems very sus about the king.
He's not Gil-galad that I know, so more needs to take place, because he also never, ever, ever undermined the threat of Sauron. He was always on alert that Sauron could come back.
Yeah, I didn't like... Yeah, you know what that reminded me of? It reminded me of Harry Potter and when they were like, Voldemort's not back. Like, that's that whole thing of like trying to deny the fact that you know this to be true. And why? Like, why not just go up in arms and fight the bad guy instead of trying to deny that this thing exists? It seems really strange.
My current research is people are saying there's not supposed to be men in the valley where the Southland men are, but there's men in the valley at some point. So I'm trying to figure that one out now. That's the one I'm iffy on. So it's different. And it hits different than Star Wars, because Star Wars, it's like you're just tracing back other sources to connect to what you're doing.
Yeah.
This is like you have a derivative source that you have to like cross-reference against other information. And that I do that with Game of Thrones too. Like, Westeros has information from the books. It's like, what are they changing? Why are they changing it? All that stuff. So I am someone who doesn't mind if they change things for television, because books do not translate 100% to the screen.
No.
They never will.
And it doesn't flow right.
So stop like expecting this one-to-one reenactment of everything you read in a book when it makes it to the screen. It's never gonna happen.
It's like just like going in with their Lord of the Rings book and just sitting there and just going page after page.
Well, then they're like, what about Sin City in 300? That's a comic book. Completely different. All right, let's get out of here before I go on a tangent. And you're late for even later for stream. Have a great week, everyone. We're gonna hit episode 99 next week. As we prepare for episode 100 Andor, Tim, we really need to plan out what we're going to do that week.
Okay.
Because I still don't know.
Let's just figure it out. Dude, we got 2 weeks to figure it out.
Figure it out.
Okay.
Figure it out. Right. But as always, make sure you head over to kingscoastcoffee.com to get the Autumn Tide when it hits
autumn
in the
tide.
Coming weeks.
Yes.
You know, winter's coming. I did not even mean to say it in
that was really
reference.
Good. Man, we've just been hitting all the nerd references today. Fantastic.
Winter is coming, which means that, you know, in the next few months, you might see your favorite I'm in love with
the cocoa. Please say cocoa. Please say cocoa. Please
with
say cocoa.
The cocoa.
Oh, my kid was asking for hot cocoa. He's been on this holiday kick and he's like, Dad, make hot cocoa. I'm like, dude, it's 90 degrees outside. We're not having hot cocoa.
I have some in my pantry if you need it.
Please throw that away. That's not good anymore.
No, Tim, the cocoa is fine. You can keep the cocoa for years.
Where's the
expiration
date on that?
It's like a 6 or 7 year expiration date.
Okay.
The cocoa's fine. Trust
Perfect.
Me.
Okay.
Trust me.
I'm always worried about when people keep our stuff for a long period of time. Like, we get pictures from people who have like bags from like 5 years ago. It's
the
like,
coffee's
oh.
a different story. That's like 6 months tops. Absolute. You're really stretching at that point. don't go any further. And please, if you have to freeze it, but please don't if you can avoid it. That's another thing. Oh my gosh. Anyway, make sure you head over to kingscoastcoffee.com. You can check out everything Tim's doing at darkness429. Like my shirt? Shirt,
head on
Tim?
Over to fb.gg/darkness429, and you too could get a shirt that Kevin might be wearing when you sit down to go live for your podcast. I was wearing the same freaking shirt today, and Kevin turned his camera on, and there he is matching me. Anyway,
I put it on this morning, and part of me was like, I hope Tim wears the shirt.
And no, it happened, and then he screamed at me to keep it on, and I yelled at him no. So yeah, you can head on over to facebook.com/darkness429 or darkness429 anywhere on the old Google searches, TikTok. You can find Kevin over at
what says Rare cult Drop. More than matching shirts. I mean, come on.
It's not a cult, it's a community, and I'm so glad you're a part of this community, Kevin.
Community under
leadership
of
Tim. That's an acronym. Yeah. Community under leadership of Tim. It just so happens that it's awkwardly spells out C-U-L-T.
Weird how that works.
Anyways, head on over to raredrop.co. You can check out everything Kevin's doing. We got a lot of stuff changing. New website happening soon.
We're doing Rings of Power Watch Party tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern on
Twitch page?
It'll be on Twitch. You want me to say it? It'll be on my old Twitch channel, which is RD_Kevin_.
Oh shit.
So Paul has kept that one in his pocket. So yeah, you can use the chonk emotes again because they're not going anywhere.
It's pretty pog, dude.
Yeah, people will be very surprised to see that go live. It'll be like an old tome, like with the dust going off. So we'll be over there watching Rings of Power. And the other thing that we're doing, and this is going to be fun, is when Andor hits, I'm going to be doing some Star Wars and Scotch game nights. On Wednesday nights, so we can talk about the episode, play some Star Wars games, hang out. Tim will join me sometimes. Ben will join me sometimes.
No.
Mike wants to join me sometimes. So, we'll be
I'm
messing around.
Game night.
We should do a Battlefront game night.
Yeah. What? Yeah, sure. Yes. Yes. Thumbs up.
We should do modded Battlefront, Tim.
There's some really weird mods in there, like Elmo. Like Elmo with a lightsaber.
I was thinking more like Mando and characters and
we could do that. Like, oh man, Battle-Torn Vader's in there and it looks awesome.
Yeah, we should do some mods like that.
Sick.
I'm not talking like run around as Big Bird.
So
like,
originally when we first got to playtest Battlefront, it was like before Alpha. It was like before content lock. Sorry, last story before we go. I got to play with Yoda before Yoda's character model was actually made. And so he was this green little Gumby guy, like literally just a green block with a green lightsaber, and he was unkillable. So you could just run around the playtest as Yoda, just a green spinning block, and you could kill everybody. General Grievous was hilarious. His arms didn't actually do anything. So he was just four arms sticking out in the Y position. And that was him. I wish I could write a book. I wish I could do like video about like everything about everything I've done with playtesting. There's a lot of DMCAs that, or not DMCAs, there's a lot of NDAs still, unfortunately. But anyways. Is this like
everybody have a good week?
Is this like end of show banter?
No, we've tried to end the show like six times and failed miserably. Everyone have a great week. We will see you next week for episode 99 of Star Wars and Scotch, and we will see you in 2 weeks. To talk about Andor and to play some Star Wars video games. As always, Timmy!